Blog Talk Radio.
It is Thursday, August 8th. We are live. This is Freight Broker Live. I'm Steve Oatley, and I am right here. And we are joined today by Craig Bliss with Freight Brands. My gosh. And he is right here. Let me put this down. What's going on, Craig? You got to unmute your mic, bud, I think. There we go. Is it working? Not hearing you. You can hear me, though? All right, hold on. This is smooth. Yeah, why don't you call? Oh, wait, there. Say something. Yeah, I can. There we go. I muted you on accident. Well, that was smooth. All right, so I got to turn up the volume a little bit because your mic's pretty low. But Craig, why don't you tell us a little bit about Freight Brand and what you do, and then we'll get started from there. I can, yep. Gotcha. Nice. Yeah, and as most of the people know, hi Lindsay, hi Christoph. As most people know, I'm a freight broker by day and a social media, I don't know, whatever, by night or by day, whenever I have spare time and decide to make a video. The reason why I wanted to do a, you know, collaboration with Craig is because he's young as well. I'm young, if you can't tell. And it's this, someone actually yesterday was talking, he may be watching, but he was talking about how the millennial generation, as much as I hate that term, but how we're, I guess, kind of taking over most industries as would be expected by people our age, and how that correlates to freight and you know, people. I know your background a little bit. I'm not sure what you know about mine, but I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I wanted to just do a collab with you and just basically talk about freight. You know, that's just basically talk about the what's going on in today's market, different sales tactics, if people are looking to start up trucking companies and all different things. But I'm not sure if you watch any of the other videos. I kind of swing from the hip. I don't really, like we talked about earlier, I don't have like a prearranged plan or anything like that. I'm not a teacher anymore, so I don't like want to teach people. I kind of just want to lead by example in the things that I do and the tips and tricks that I've learned in the industry as a broker and as a carrier, and because I believe that those make me a better broker and carrier. Just a little note, I can see the comments today. Yesterday, I couldn't see the comments, but I could see the comments today as they're coming up, and I believe I shared this in a bunch of groups, and we have 29 people watching, so some people are seeing it. So you guys can also call in. That's a fully functional call-in number down below, and just, I guess, to shoot the shit. You know, the conversation's going to end by 7 o'clock because the Patriots are on tonight, and they're going to win. So I'm going to be watching that game. But, so let's start right off. Brad says, how would one get in the business? Well, I guess I'm assuming you mean freight brokerage. Now, Craig, you worked for a big broker before, right? Gotcha. Yeah, I kind of started on accident. I worked for the big guys, but I didn't work for them until I was already smartass, is the way I like to say it. So I kind of talked myself into some pretty high up positions because, I knew what I was doing, but I taught myself as I talked to other people. As I said in the previous videos, I learned this business from actually getting out there and doing it. And I didn't take a class. I didn't do any of that stuff. And as we mentioned before, I'm not big on the classes. I think the seminars, and I've held some seminars before, and I think some of the other guys that are out there doing seminars now, those are fine. But when these freight broker schools, I guess, are pumping out people, I don't think you're going to kind of get the education that you need. My very long answer to a very simple question, how would one get in the business, would be to go work for a broker or go work for a carrier as a dispatcher, and you'll start to learn the business that way. And there's so many brokerages and carriers, they're everywhere. So it shouldn't be that hard to find one. Sometimes it's hard to get in the door. But as a freight agent, I'm not sure if you've ever been a freight agent for anyone, but that's a little bit more complicated to get into that industry. But it's or not that industry, but that, because you need to have a book of business in order to work with anybody. So and it's hard to get a book of business if you're brand new. So it's kind of like a catch-22. But there you go. And then Matt says, where do you see the rates going the rest of the year? They're going to go up. I don't know. They're pretty darn low right now. So I would hope that they're going to go up. That would be my, right? They've started to go up from my perspective and what I see. And I know this is, I try to make them go up. I had a customer flat out today. I said, no, I can't. I can't even touch your load. Can't get it moved. And he called me back at the end of the day and he gave me the extra $800. And guess what? It was moved very quick. So I think it's kind of a catch. It's hard because you have to be direct with your customers and yet you have to be fair to the carrier. And a lot of times that could cost you a customer or cost you a carrier. in terms of on the carrier perspective, just like someone was commenting in a group and I chimed in on it earlier, you know, they asked for $1.95 a mile to run a load from Pensacola to California. And the driver or in the broker was offering $3,300, which, you know, it came out to be like, you know, $400 short roughly. And, he was asking online. I don't know if he was doing it just to get a rise out of the lower rate. But I mean, it is the coast to coast rate that was paying $1.60 or, you know, something a mile. So it wasn't that bad, especially not for a hot shot. So I didn't know if he was actually just posting it to get a rise out of someone or if he was posting it to say, hey, look, here's a cheap rate. I honestly want your opinion. Should I take this load to California so I'm running for the weekend, or should I hold firm and say no? And, you know, my recommendation was just to hold firm, you know, because the broker came up from $2,800 originally. So my, from a broker's perspective, he already went back to his customer to get more money. And now he's just playing hardball to see how low he can get you to go to take the load. And I've done that too. I mean, I booked a load today for $1,200. That was going like 400 miles. Carrier on that load fell off. I ended up booking another carrier for $1,100 on the same load. And then the customer said, no, it needs to pick up by two. So I had to remove that carrier. And then I found another carrier for $1,000. But instead of me saying, okay, I just made $1,400 or $400 profit, I went back to the customer and said, hey, I found a different guy to do it for $1,000. I'm going to charge you 12. I'm still making a 20% profit on the load. And he ended up giving me four more loads that I didn't even know anything about. So I think that is one of the best ways to deal with either customers or even brokers. It works the same in that regard. If you do a good job, as much as people say they hate brokers, they, you know, for the owner ops that don't have direct clients, the brokers are your client. You know, any thoughts on that? I went up, talked a lot, but. Well, I mean, I only have the perspective from what I'm doing. I don't have a perspective in terms of other brokers. I used to be one of those guys that lived off of sonar and all that stuff to try to get the most accurate rate, you know, because that isn't always showing them the most accurate rate as much as we all rely on them. But so, you know, I use sonar and I use different resources to try to find the best rate to so I can quote my customer and know that I'm going to cover the load. I don't try to get a load just to make a couple of bucks. I try to get a load to get business in the future. That's the difference between me and a lot of other guys is I'm a volume broker. So in order for me to make money, I need to get a lot of volume because I charge such low margins typically. And so it works a little bit different, you know, in terms of direct shipper rate. Again, I don't see that side from the shippers to carriers. So I don't, it is, well, no, I can't say that, but it's, there's a comment. I have an app on my phone or on my computer, so I can't open the very last comments. But once someone else comments something, I'll move it up. But, you know, sonar, I jumped into the sonar bandwagon before they released that $199 carrier bundle a month. So I'm paying quite a bit more a month for it. And I still use it. And when I have the bigger clients and stuff, I use it a couple of times a week, to be honest. So it's still, you know, something, but you have to have a lot of tools. You say it all the time, tools in your toolbox. And to be able to quote something properly, you do. You need to have a bunch of different resources in order to get accurate pricing, to find the good carriers. Like, I don't just rely on our TMS system to qualify a carrier, especially a new one. You know, I run every carrier through Carrier 411, regardless of whether they have perfect feedback in our TMS, because I want to see what's going on, you know. And I'm also not, yeah, but I'm also quick. I'm not quick to just say, okay, they got a shitty record in Carrier 411, so I'm just going to not allow them to work. You know, I kind of use it, and normally I'll call them and I'll say, hey, listen, what's this, you know, instance? And maybe it's because I was a carrier for so long that I'm able to relate, maybe, you know, so it's a little bit different in that regard. Right. That is true. Troy said, so I want to learn how. I'm assuming that's because we're talking about brokering and stuff. And I hope we answered your question. Just a reminder, guys, we do have a phone that actually works. And if you call in, everyone will hear you. And I pay $100 a month for this phone system, so someone give it a call and make it worth it. But all right. And Yeah. Brad Wright, it's going to cut off half of your comment, but I'm going to try. It says, I'm having trouble building carrier-to-broker relationships with international buyers. I would like to cut out the load boards and haul direct because I find myself doing a lot of work for and then a cutout. You go for that, Craig. I couldn't read it. That's why I passed it to you. Yeah, I read his question. I don't really know what he means by it. Because he says, trouble building carrier-to-broker relationships with international auto buyers. He would like to cut out load boards and haul direct. So I guess I don't know. Hey, I have an idea, Brad. Call in. But and then it's going the wrong way. But, yeah, the comments are all finicky. It's doing the same thing as yesterday where the comments just stop working halfway through. But Claudio said, and I can't even highlight it, I think. Claudio is asking, how do you calculate LTL freight? I mean, the rates. The simple way, well, it depends. Because if you're an independent broker and you do not have the resources, either team up with a company that does and work as like a contract sub agent, or don't handle the freight. Simple as that, because if even with me, and I'm part of a big company, our LTL rates are not great compared to some of the other guys. So you know what I do, and I come from an LTL background. I used to sell LTL. I don't touch it, you know, and that's basically it, because I know the rate that we get, because our wheelhouse is in full truckload and oversized moves. So the LTL rates that we're able to get, companies like Globaltran, who build 90% of their business on LTL, they destroy us on it. So, but Globaltran is also a good company not to, you know, toot their horn, because, you know, I was an agent for them and I left because the agent program isn't that great. But I know that they'll set up other brokers, as long as you have credit, they'll set up other brokers and you can resell, they'll white label their whole system. So you can sell LTL services as your own company through them. And you know who's a big one that does that? And you'll never believe it. TQL. TQL's whole LTL program is white labeled through Globaltrans, or at least it was a year and a half ago. So, and there are a lot of companies. Another one that does that a lot is Worldwide Logistics. So they do the same thing. And it's all, you know, you can go to Worldwide and set up LTL programs through them. But in terms of how you calculate it, that is the only way to do it. You have to have an LTL software, because those rates are so fluid and they change because of fuel surcharge. And, you know, 1 week it could be $150 to ship a pallet. The next week it could be $250, just depending on capacity for the lane. It's a lot like intermodal, you know. But right. I am not, but I have my phone in my hand, so that's why I keep looking down. So I'm seeing a magic coming up now. It's a shirt, man, and I'm kind of leaned over. That's why I don't have a neck right now. But it's just a shirt, I promise you. It's all tight because I just got it when I did a competition last week. So that's the only reason. I have a neck. Watch it. I am, yeah. Someone wrote, bro, where's your neck? It's just because of the way the shirt is. It's not my fault. Steph, yeah. You want to go first or me? Yeah, and for me, I got my start in trucking or as an owner-operator. You know, like I said in the previous videos, I started out of necessity. I was a sophomore in college, and I didn't have, you know, anything to do, and I wanted to sightsee. So I grabbed a pickup truck and a trailer, and I ran, you know, this is before ELD and all that crap. So, and I, you know, my first 2 months, I didn't even have numbers, and I was just running. And then I ended up getting the DOT, and I, you know, and I did it. And then I stopped and went back, and then I, you know, started again. I had a bunch of trucks, and then I took a step away. And then when, you know, we had our first kid, that's where life really got serious all of a sudden, and I needed to make something of myself. So I had a bunch of trucks there, you know. I had trucks up until January this year, and I just got rid of them just because I was trying to find a way that I would be better off. Or owning trucks is hard, man. And no matter which way you look at it, it's very hard to keep good drivers. I didn't drive anymore. You know, I've got, you know, my wife and kids and all that, and it doesn't, she's a teacher. It doesn't work for me to be on the road. So I had to get out of the, you know, owning trucks thing, because if you're not driving, it's very easy to lose your ass really fast. And you know, and that's why a lot of people get on here and they're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, buy a truck and I'm going to hire a driver and I'm going to make $1,500 a week. I actually talked about that in one of my other videos. And, No, no, you're not. You know, maybe. Someone asked, how much does it cost a month for broker insurance? I mean, if you're talking contingent, yeah, if you're talking contingent cargo and stuff like that, it's cheap. You know, the bond is, it's that's still relatively cheap in comparison to what carriers have to pay. Even if you have really shitty credit, you know, you could pay upwards of $7,000 for bond if your credit's in the tank, or you could pay as little as, I mean, I've heard people paying $1,200 a year. So it all, really? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Most of the large clients anyway require some sort of insurance. Like I, you know, if you Yeah, if you look at our like one of our company's insurance certificates, we have more insurance than pretty much any other brokerage. I think I was really surprised today when I was looking at it. We got scheduled autos, any autos, you know, everything, you know. But yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not as expensive. It's cheaper to start a brokerage than it is to start a motor carrier side, but the issue is it's a lot quicker to make money as a motor carrier than it is as a broker, you know, because you, instead of like brokers actually have to go out there and search, you know, for customers and get and work that relationship, as much as everyone hates it, a carrier can get his authority on day one, get on the load boards, and he will be making money, you know, whether or not it's a lot. And, you know, that's a conversation for, you know, a different day, but, you know, people start trucking companies every day, and I think one of the reasons why so many of them close, you know, I just watched a video yesterday where they were talking about how many companies close and how, what the average cost is for, you know, it's, it's because they don't know what they're doing, you know. I had like I said in a different video, I had a guy that paid me a bunch of money. I helped him do his filings. We sold him a trailer. We got him all set, and then his authority went active. He didn't even have a CDL. And then we got into the conversation about driving the truck, and he said he's never even pulled the trailer, ever. And he's out there to be a super trucker. And he's doing it now. You know, he's active on social media. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Go ahead and ask. Oh. Yeah, well, the bond is essentially to guarantee payments to the carrier, but it doesn't necessarily always do that, because if a broker has a brokerage and he goes for 2 months and he moves $150,000 in freight and gets paid from his shipper and doesn't pay a damn carrier, they're only going to pay out the first 75 if you're even lucky to do that. Most of the time, they'll settle for pennies on the dollar, and they kind of tell you, you know, you're hit. But that's essentially what the bond is for, you know. And then, you know, I think all the different values where some people will have, you know, say, oh, I have a $100,000 surety bond, or I have 150. Those, it's all pointless, you know. It just costs you more up front, but it's not like having $250,000 in cargo insurance where it's going to actually allow you to, you know, to handle more business because you can handle high value stuff. So it's a necessity for any broker. It's required by law. And all that its sole purpose is to give a little bit of but like confidence in the carrier that they're going to get paid, but it doesn't mean that. And that's why they still credit check and all that stuff too. I mean, I don't know if you were doing this back when it was $10,000, but that didn't provide any security for anyone. That's one of the reasons why they moved it up. So. Yeah. Yeah, the big guys, yeah. Right. Yeah. Andrew asked, some of these companies only deal with asset-based companies. Do you have to be a trucking agent? Well, it depends. I find that a lot of the time that's like the gatekeeper thing. A lot of times the shippers will just say, oh, you got to have trucks. We won't work with you if you have trucks. And I actually worked as a director of sales for a company that got that. And so you know what they did? They went out and filed for their carrier authority, bought an old semi-truck for $5,000, got it registered and parked it in their parking lot and used it as like a sign and never moved. But as of that day, they were an asset-based carrier. And is it? Yeah. Mine was in Jersey. If yours was in Jersey, then there's a chance. But okay. But yeah, so and that's what they did. And it got them around that workaround, and they got that client, and then they got other clients, and they just went to, you know, they basically told the carrier, or the customer rather, listen, we'll do it right now. Let's just get to business. And it works. But other than buying a truck, if they say that you know, you have to be asset based, you could kind of work on it and say, you know, I want that. It's almost the same as if you go to a shipper and that you're a one truck operation and you just like to run the East Coast, and then they say, well, we can give you the East Coast lanes, but you got to take this load to Texas all the time. You can either say, okay, I want the loads that are on the East Coast, and I'll, you know, take the load to Texas. Or if you don't want the load, you know, you give up on the freight. It's kind of or you become a broker and then broker that freight too. You know, one or the other. Right. That's a good one. Here's Stephanie wrote, brokering is hand over fist, easier to make money. You pick up a phone. How is that harder than owning equipment and being away from your family and running down the highways with dangerous traffic loads? And I don't mean to laugh. It's because I was jumbling it as I was reading it. It's no brokering. I never said brokering was easier or it was harder. The initial startup is what I said was harder. You may have caught that in the beginning, because yes, you're going to make $400, $300 on the load. But you're going to have to get and nurture that account, whereas a carrier just gets on a load board and calls a load, gets set up, does a couple things of paperwork, and boom, they've made money. It doesn't necessarily – I mean, it's you can't really compare the two. I tried to do that, you know, and I went the carrier route, and then I chose the easier route. I chose to be a broker because all the conveniences that are followed through with it. One, I'm a salesperson, so I can walk and get new accounts whenever I want. But two, I didn't want to be driving. You know, that big pileup that happened in Illinois, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, where a bunch of people died. It was in the middle of the winter. I was in that accident. And you know what? That was the last winter I ever drove. And I said, I'm done with this over-the-road crap because, you know, it's a dangerous job. And I don't, you know, me being a broker or me making these videos doesn't take anything away from that because ultimately I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the carriers that are out there running the roads. And I understand that, which is why, you know, I try to price my freight the way I do. You know, and you know, I have more years as a carrier than I do as a, you know, a full-time broker, you know. Daryl said, going off of what you said about the brokers actually going out to find customers, how would you recommend a new broker sell themselves to shippers and clients to gain new accounts? I mean, we talked about that a little bit yesterday in my video, and I'm tired of that, so go ahead, Craig. It's true. That was a big one on beer koozies. They always work for me, giving those out. But I'm not sure if he's still there. He's frozen, so I'm just going to keep on going. looks like he's frozen. But Amanda said vetting is huge, both sides, customer and carrier. Yeah, that's true. You have to vet your customers. Make sure, you know, do credit checks on your customers if you're an independent guy. Or you have to, he'll probably join back. Or you have to, vet your carriers too. You know, there's carriers out there that are just bad. You know, they don't show up for pickups. They don't show up for deliveries or they're late for deliveries. I had a load that was supposed to deliver Monday. It's Thursday and they just delivered. Am I going to charge them anything? No, because they actually kept in contact, but they just said it never left their warehouse. They didn't, you know, it didn't fit on the truck that they were going to send. So they sent a different truck. And if I went in and checked the you know, freight guards and in our internal records and stuff with us, it probably would have changed a little bit. Craig, you should be able to click that link and join right back if you've got a minute, but, Amanda said, relationships are the means for selling to me, trust and respect. Yeah, I mean, just like I said yesterday in yesterday's sales video, the easiest thing is, it in terms of the sales process, is doing all the research to know what you're selling, you know, for most people. For me, it's actually just going in and shooting the shit with someone and getting the business. You know, it's the same thing. I cold called. I knew, that they purchased trailers because I paid attention to everything. So I saw they purchased a couple of NDUM trailers. And so I called and I spoke to some office manager and gave her my information. And then, you know, long story short, the president of the company called and gave me 3 trailers to move. And cross-country trailers, and I'm going to make $500 a whack on them. You know, and that's just cold calling and being yourself. I'm not I know rates, so I know how to quote stuff properly, but I don't necessarily think that gives me the advantage over someone else just cold calling that may have a rate in front of them. You know, I'm not a template guy. You know, like I said, I'm a volume broker, but in terms of sales, I'm not a template guy. I wing it. You know, I don't believe in templates when you call. I believe in just, you know, going and getting the business and securing it. Lindsay said, do y'all write up your own rate cons and carrier packets, or is there a universal one? Well, the company that I'm an agent for has their own packets. Actually, they have a contract just like anyone else. You could just copy and paste the contract and put your name in there, and boom, it's still going to be the same contract. But then they use the onboarding stuff. Like, I think we use my carrier packets. When I was my own broker, I used that. Even though it's kind of, you know, to pay $50, I think actually it was like $100 a month to use it. It was still beneficial because it just made that much easier. And I know with those, they tie right into whatever TMS system you're using. In terms of rate cons, all TMS systems will spit out that rate con. So you're not creating. I've seen when I was a carrier or a dispatcher even, I've seen the guys that you can clearly tell are using an Excel template for the rate con. I don't know how you could personally handle the accounting if you're using those for there you go. I don't know if let's put them back up. But well, and that zoomed way in on my face. There you go. But yeah, you froze with an awkward face. but yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Lindsay, you know, I don't have experience with McLeod. It's something I've looked at a lot, but, you know, the companies that I worked at, they either used Algex, they used Mercury Gate, which is a pain in the butt to learn, or they used whatever this one is, Edge, and or custom ones. You know, most of the big brokers are all using custom software or software that's derived off of custom software. I don't. Have you ever used McLeod? He said, do you have any experience with McLeod software? Yeah. Mercury Gate's the same way. It's super duper expensive. Like the company I worked at, their implementation was $1.5 million. Huge company. They also had warehousing and all that stuff. And you know, they started with the one truck, and then after a while they ended up realizing that they could make money running owner operator. So now currently they have like over 1,000 trucks on the road. They're much, much bigger. And I like to say that's because of me and bringing in the Ringer sales account, but you know, because I did. And you want to talk about sales. I cold call. I saw an article in some trade magazine where a new food distributor or like food manufacturer from Florida was going to be in Walmart's nationwide. And that's what our wheelhouse was, dealing with retail distribution and stuff like that. So I cold called them and I ended up getting on the phone with a CFO by, I don't even know how. I was sitting there going, holy shit, I'm on the phone with this guy. And he flew up the next day and he signed a $5 million contract. And the company bought me a car. So because it was, we were supposed to go to the dinner and I drove an old police car. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And we're supposed to go to a company dinner and I show up in the old police car in the front to take the brand new rich client. No, didn't work. I love that. I don't know, it was. And that's, sometimes you just get lucky. That was a lucky account, but, and then like another account, we're joking around with, I tried to get. And then the company had season tickets because this is in Jersey. So the company had season tickets to Yankee Stadium. So we get, and I hate the Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan through and through. No, sorry, anybody. But we ended up giving these guys tickets to the season tickets and it got the business. So you talk about, putting stuff, out there. Yeah, and it does work. Or they just don't remember the entire trip. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Carl said, Carl, I saw your question first, so I'll say that. You asked, is a rumor true, starting a brokerage, you need at least $80,000 in the bank for working capital to pay the carrier after net 30, or do broker have options to factor his invoice to pay the carrier? Yeah, a broker can set up factoring. And I talked about this a little bit in one of the other videos. Don't. If you don't have a huge nest egg to be a broker, you shouldn't be doing it. And that's my opinion, because if you're trying to set up with factoring, and I only work with one factoring company, it's the only one I like, so I only refer them, and their broker, their whole factoring product is not really built for the broker. So with their example, it's 3% plus 5% escrow, or 2% plus 5% escrow, and you get the escrow back. So basically they advance, and this was, I think it may have been on your page where someone was asking about this the other day. And they were saying I'm advanced 100%, but they take out whatever is paid to the carrier. Well, you're not factoring then. I don't know what kind of relationship you're doing if they're not getting paid a fee. But typically what ends up happening is, so say it works the same as a carrier. You send in your invoices and you're paid and they take their little fee. Except when a broker does it, they send in their invoices and your invoice as a carrier. And then the carrier is paid depending on what the terms are. If it's 21 days and they're paid on 21, if the carrier opts for a quick pay, then that comes out. And then you're sent the difference minus their fee plus the escrow. So on a $1,000 load, if you have 8% fee and the carrier is getting whatever, $80, you're only going to get $40 until the customer pays, and then they release your escrow to you, depending on what the circumstance is. So, but that also means that your profit margin, if you're doing it as a job, meaning you need money right away, factoring isn't going to help you, because your margins are going to have to be so high to cover that deficit that it's I did it for a little bit when I had my brokerage, and it didn't work because I work on low margins. So my margins, if I'm lucky, or if I really go to extend myself, are 10%, and like I said, my margins typically are right at 5% or sometimes less, because I'm not greedy and I want volume. I want more business. And if I can't do that if I'm paying 7% out for factoring and escrow. I did do some consulting work way back when for a carrier that he factored, and then he wanted to open up a brokerage. And this is before, insurance and everybody didn't really allow you to have dual authority. I don't even know if you can do it now, actually. But that, oh, you can't. So back then, you used to be able to have it a lot more. So he ended up getting the brokerage authority and then used the carrier's receivables, I guess the guarantee of the carrier's receivable, to fund the brokerage. So essentially, factoring still paid all the invoices out to the carriers. So that company went from zero to, you know, plus they had a lot of trucks. So that it basically funded the brokerage. Now they can't do that because everything has to be a separate entity. And if you're a carrier and you already have a UCC, which you will if you're factoring, if there's no other way around it, that factoring company is not going to allow you to set up, you know, Joe Blow brokerage and have a different UCC. You're going to have to work with that factoring or get some other factoring company to buy you out. That's the only way it's going to work. Right. Right. I mean, it's easier. It doesn't necessarily mean it's easy because you still got to get over the hump of getting carriers to work for you, because that's one thing we didn't really cover and all the issues. But so to go back to Carl's question, if you aren't looking to factor, yes, you need to have a lot of money, because otherwise, you know, carriers aren't going to wait 30 days. There's not the big guys will wait 30 days to get paid. You know, the little owner ops, they're not going to pull your load. It's as simple as that. They're not, because they can't wait 30 days. And then what software are you using to track quotes, being able to monitor feedback if you won the lane? You could talk about that. You rep a software. Yeah. Yeah. We use, you know, company wide, we use Google Sheets for everything, you know, because I've been on Google for everything, not with the Trinity, but just, you know, and the people that work for me, you know, because a lot of a lot of the loads we have are bulk loads anyway. So I take them and I get them in, I put them on a spreadsheet, and then I upload them straight to DAT. But because we're all in different places, I'll put that spreadsheet on Google Sheets and then we'll just click them off as we book them typically. But he would, yeah, I guess, see, I haven't used it because his wasn't about RFQs. It was more about tracking individual quotes for shipments and how you do that. And me, I don't. You know, I'll have it in an email. If I lose a bid, I don't really care. But I do have like a kind of a limit. If I'm not moving a lot, you know, if I try to get with a new customer and I'm not working with them well and I move one shipment, but I'm not, and I lose out on 10 more, I will cut ties with that shipper after, you know, a month or two, because that's a lot of time. If you actually, instead of, you know, keeping track of which ones you lost and won, keep track of the time you actually spend on quoting versus the money you make, and that'll probably change your opinion. So me, in terms of, you know, keeping, yeah, like for the quotes, I don't even put them in our system. It's got something built in so I could, you know, send fancy quotes. You know, a customer will ask me for a quote, I send them an email, and then I wait for a response, and then it's booked. You know, but I do make a mental note to not work too hard on any customer unless I'm making money off them. You know, there's people out there that are saying, I'm quoting business, and they're quoting and quoting customers for a long time, and they're not getting any work. And you know what that customer is doing is they're using your quote And then they're basing their margin off it and getting people to beat your quote without even giving you the chance to do it, you know? Right. Right. I'm not, and like I said, I'm not, we get load lists every day. I mean, you can sign up for them super fast and get them. And then once or twice a month, you will get them to accidentally where they meant to put BCC and they put it as CC, and you will see the tremendous list of people that are getting these quotes every day. And usually it's at that point that I make that judgment on whether, how hard I actually want to work on this. You know, I had one that literally one time had like 140 different people that they sent that quote to. And I was like, are you kidding? Really? Yeah. Well, that environment's super competitive there. You know, I've actually talked to, you know, a lot of people from there and Coyote. You know, I had a rep with Coyote when I had my own trucks. And we would do so much work, and we, because they're commission-based, I really liked him. I would call him if a different agent had a load, and he would snag it from him because he was management, and he would snag it and get the commission on it. And it worked. A lot of people crap. This isn't a broker board, you know, so I don't want to – what are your thoughts as, you know, with the carrier relationships that you have on the big brokers like that, TQL, Coyote, the ones that are notoriously slammed every single day on social media? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, when I was a carrier, I was an LTL carrier, just as I do now. I deal mostly with partials. When I had trucks, we ran straight trucks and tractors, and we did consolidation from Jersey to California, Jersey to Florida. And then we just take a regular load back home. And so, of course, I'm using TQL, I'm using Coyote, I'm using all those big guys that everyone seems to hate. And you get the crappy, you know, reps that aren't paying you what you're worth, and they complain about detention, or they'll say, yeah, I got you in detention, and you don't get it. You know, you've got a video. We're not going to go into detention, but it is something I answered today. You have a video, and actually, I think a couple, about detention. And people that aren't in Craig's group, there you go. It's Freight Brokers and Truck Drivers on Facebook. So I think this is shared in your group anyway, so that probably a lot of them are. And then I've got other groups. We're going to end this pretty quick here because, like I said, the Patriots are playing. I'm not missing it. But, yeah, I put it up there, Ryan, so you should see it. It's Freight Brokers and Truck Drivers. He posts a whole bunch of stuff all the time. I've got a couple of groups. I got Trucker Load Board and Flatbed Freight Load Board. Those groups are not for conversations like this. You know, what the whole reason I have those groups is because I want them to be load board groups. People post loads out there, you know, and brokers have to post, you know, their credentials on there, because before a customer or a carrier even calls, I want them to be able to run credit and all that. It's the same thing. As a broker, I would get, you know, as a new broker, I would get super ticked off if I spent a bunch of time trying to, you know, get a carrier and qualifying the carrier, send them a rate con, and then them to call back and say, oh, you weren't approved by factor and we can't use you. You know what I mean? Just do your due diligence and check first. That's why someone said you have to, you know, do your due diligence. And in this business, you have to. Whether you're qualifying carriers, qualifying shippers, qualifying dispatchers, you know, I'm going to make a video very soon about dispatchers, and that's not a bad thing. I owned a huge dispatch company. I owned a big one, but the reason I don't anymore is because there's just too many, and it's a horrible, horrible industry right now. Yeah. I mean, and I liked it, and I made plenty of money, and I was good for the drivers, and they all liked it, but yeah, the load board groups I have, Ben, are, what are they? Truckers load board and flatbed freight load board, something like that. If you search them, I don't really care that much. I moderate them like 3 times a day. So I just go through and delete them, and I post these in there, and that's it. I don't really comment too much on them because I don't have the time like Craig does because I'm booking freight all day. But yeah, and then look at Craig's website. Yeah, you're busy too. But yeah, and check out my podcast, all that. You know, I think if you Google Freight Broker Live now, some of the podcasts show up. This one will be available on podcast tomorrow when I upload it. But it is on Blog Talk Radio. It's broadcasting live there, which is this fancy phone system that nobody pays or nobody uses. But all right, guys, I'm signing off. I pay for it, so I'm using it. But hey, Craig, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you. Yep. Bye. Yeah.